Morning, everyone. On today's daf in Sukkah, daf Mem Gimel, we have the pleasure this morning of starting the fourth perek of the Masechta. So let us do so. The learning we do is Lazer Chanishlan Slovis Lupin Zolfman. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The fourth perek turns its attention now to Sukkah during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We have now covered three prakim of the Masechta, so that means basically as follows. In the first and second perek, we talked about the mitzvah of Sukkah. The mitzvah of Sukkah operates during the 7 days of Sukkot, where there's a mitzvah to sit in the Sukkah, to leave our house and to sit in the Sukkah. And so for the first two parakim, up until Daf Chavtes, until the 29th Daf of the Masechta, so we've been talking about the mitzvah of Sukkah. The third parak, which we started about 2 weeks ago now, which began on Chavtes Amud Beis and has continued until yesterday's Daf, until Mem Beis. So nearly 13 pages of the third parak. So that is dedicated to the mitzvah of lulav. We got to identify what the lulav is. We got to learn what the psulim are regarding lulav, hadasa, marava, and esrog. And so we've identified now the minim. So now what we're going to do in the course of the fourth parak is we're going to take a small step backwards and we're going to look at the yontiv as a total package. Now yontiv as a total package comes in really two parts. One part of the yontiv is the actual sukkahs itself, the yontiv of sukkahs, which is for 7 days. The Torah says that on the first day, l'kachta mechem b'yom harishon, you'll take on the first day pre-etz hadar, kapos tamarim, anaf etz avas, arvei nacham. You take the dal minim on the first day, usmachtam lefnei shemokechem shivas yomim, and you're going to rejoice in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days. So in other words, sukkahs yontif itself is 7 days. And then the Torah introduces us to, on the eighth day, what's called Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres is the eighth day. That's a literal translation. We're going to see later on, over the course of this parak, that the eighth day is really Chag b'fnei atzmo. It's really its own independent day. Of course, it is connected to Sukkot. Of course, it's called the eighth day. By virtue of the name, it's called the eighth day. That obviously means that it's a connection. It's connected to Sukkot. But don't confuse Shemini Atzeres and Sukkot. During Sukkot, there's a mitzvah of Sukkah and Lulav. And during Shemini Atzeres, there's no mitzvah of Sukkah and Lulav. Shemini Atzeres, it's its own independent yontif. In fact, we're going to identify six criteria in which we're going to see Shemini Atzeres to be its own independent day. That's going to come up later as well. Okay, so what we are going to do in the fourth perek, still we're going to talk about the mitzvah of lulav and arava, but we're going to talk about it from a more macro perspective and not the micro of the actual minim themselves. Lulav v'arava, the Mishnah begins that when the mitzvah of lulav and the mitzvah of arava, what is that? So as we're going to see later on, today, tomorrow, in addition to the mitzvah of lulav, the dalamina, but there was also a separate mitzvah of arava. The separate mitzvah of arava, where are you going to find that in the Torah? Answer, you won't. It's not located in the Torah, this mitzvah of arava. It's what we said a couple days ago in the daf. It's halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. It's part of the oral tradition, not written in the Torah itself. According to one opinion we saw a couple days ago, it's intimated in the Torah. There's a hint in the Torah to the mitzvah of arava because the Torah says arvei nachal, and arvei nachal, arvei is in the plural. So there are two aravas. One arava that's connected to the mitzvah of lulav, and another arava connected to the mitzvah of arava. Okay, so we're gonna come back to that mitzvah later on. But lulav arava shisha v'shiva. So how many days do we take lulav arava? We take it either 6 or 7. Well, that's a funny statement for the mission to make, meaning either 6 or 7, please let's make up our mind. Is it a mitzvah for 7 days or is it a mitzvah for 6 days? And why does the Mishnah say 6 or 7? So the Mishnah itself will explain itself. Because at this point in time, it's difficult to understand what's 6, what's 7. So in explanation of the Mishnah, we'll just wait a little bit. The Mishnah is going to explain itself. But anyway, the mitzvah of lulav and arava is 6 or 7 days. Ha-halal v'asimcha, shmona. The mitzvah of halal, 8 days. Mitzvah of halal, and every day of sukkah, so there's a mitzvah to say halal. Now here when I say sukkah, you can get confused because sukkahs could either be the 7 days of sukkahs or it could be the entire package, which would include the eighth day. So the Mishnah over here, when it says 8 days, obviously it means including the eighth day, obviously. So halal, the mitzvah of halal is to be said all 8 days. The mitzvah of halal, is this a mitzvah min haTorah or is this a mitzvah min derabbanan? So we're going to go with the third option. Even though there normally isn't the third option. But we're going to go with the third option, at least according to Rashi. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ha-hala ligmor kol shmona. To finish hala all seven, to finish hala all 8 days. 8 days of hala. Yes, it does sound a little bit like the 8 days of Chanukah. And I saw a nice discussion about maybe the connection between Chanukah and Sukkot. But anyway, So 8 days of Halal on Sukkot. Now, first of all, Rashi says Ligmor to finish. So we all understand, I'm just reviewing, I'm sure we all know this, that when it comes to the Halal, we say the full Halal or we say the half Halal. When we say the half Halal, Chatzi Halal, so what we're doing basically is we're cutting out just two prakim of Halal, and really the truth of the matter is not even two prakim, two half prakims of Halal. But basically, it's more indicative. What is it indicative of? That when we're saying Chatzi Halal, it means that it's not really a mitzvah. It's a minhag. It's just simply a custom, was a practice. We're going to see later on, not Sukkah. We're going to see it in Tanis, I think. Okay, I guess we'll find out. But we're going to see later on that Rav traveled. He started in Eretz Yisrael, and then he traveled to Bavel. And then on Bavel, when he went to Bavel, so he saw those Babylonian Jews. So they had some strange practices. One of the strange practices of the Babylonian Jews is that they said Halal Rosh Chodesh. So he was like he was going crazy. What are you doing? You know, we don't say Halal Rosh Chodesh. So, but then he saw that they were skipping paragraphs of Halal, and then he says, "Oh yeah, now I get it. It's a minhag, meaning it must be a practice, a minhag that was instituted by the Babylonian Jews. When I don't know, but obviously it's an early minhag." Okay, fine. That's a minhag. So that's once we're not saying the full halal, we're not gomer. It's a halal. So then it's not a mitzvah. It's a minhag. Okay. Do we make a bracha on a minhag? So actually, that we will discuss that together in tomorrow's daf. That's going to be a big discussion tomorrow's daf, whether or not it's appropriate to say a bracha on a minhag. The Gemara will say tomorrow it's not appropriate. Okay. And obviously, then if it's not appropriate, so then what are we doing? What are us Ashkenazim doing on Rosh Chodesh? All right, so that's tomorrow's discussion. Come back again tomorrow, please. Okay, and your trek into the Daf Yomi, I promise tomorrow will be easier. Okay, but the good. So Rashi says we're on the Rashi and the Mishnah. So Rashi says Halal Ligmar Kol Shmona Kain Tiknu Neviim Harishonim. So Rashi says this is a takana amongst the Neviim. So I don't know which category to put it on. It's not Daraisa, because Daraisa would mean that's in the Torah. To say it's the Rabban, and Rashi over here sounds like it's more. Tiknu Nevi'im, the Nevi'im instituted it. Okay, so you could say that it's the Rabban that was instituted by the Nevi'im. Okay, which obviously, I don't know about obviously, but may have a little bit more oomph to it. Okay, if I could use that word as a technical expression. But anyway, and then Rashi reminds us of Erechin. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Erechin. So I already made this point just a couple of days ago, but it's appropriate right now to reiterate. The reason why the 8 days of Sukkot, we say Halal, full Halal, all 8 days, is because no 2 days are identical in terms of Karbanos. Every day of Sukkot has its own unique Karbanos that's brought. The Torah gives a prescription for a certain set of karbanos to be brought every day, and there's no repeat. And because there's no repeated karbanos on any given day, so therefore every day now has a certain extra level of kedusha, and therefore we say halal on all those days. Masha Inke, when it comes to Pesach, the subsequent 6 days after day one is all the same karban. It's a repeat of day one. So what we're doing, ka'ela, right? I think we're all familiar. But in other words, there's no repetition of karbanos from days two to day seven, and therefore there's no extra kedusha. Or extra kedusha is probably not the right way to say it, but in other words, there's no impetus to say a full halal from days two through seven. Again, what we do is, and this is universal, this is a universal minhag, is that we all say chatzi halal from days two to seven, but that's a minhag, that's a custom, that's not a mitzvah. And again, practically speaking, what does that mean? So for Ashkenazim, it just simply means that we take out two paragraphs. For Sephardim, it means that not only do they take out two paragraphs, they don't make a bracha, because it's a minhag, it's not a mitzvah. Okay, good. That is, that's halal. So halal is 8 days and simcha. Simcha is also 8 days. What is simcha? So simcha means to be happy. But to be happy is a state of being, it's an emotion. All right, we're talking Mishnah, we're talking Gemara, we're talking Halacha. So what exactly does that mean? So Rashi says, Lechol Basar Shlamin. To eat Basar Shlamin. There's a mitzvah to eat Basar Shlamin. Basar Shlamin means carbon that's brought in the base of Mikdash Shlamin. This is what's called Shami Simcha. We will get to the Gemara in Chagiga and we will discuss this carbon in more detail. But for our purposes right now, just know that there's a mitzvah all 8 days to enjoy and to partake of Shalmei Simcha, all 8 days. Nisar Chamayim, back to the Mishnah. I skipped. Sukkah v'Nisar Chamayim Shiva. The mitzvah of Sukkah, the mitzvah of Nisar Chamayim, that's for 7 days. The mitzvah of sukkah, okay, we're familiar. We spent most of this masechta talking about the mitzvah of sukkah. The mitzvah of sukkah is for 7 days of sukkahs. So is the mitzvah of nisa chamayim, water libation, pouring water down the southwest corner of the mizbeach. On the top of the mizbeach, there are two holes. One is to collect the wine, the other is to collect the water. And during the 7 days of sukkah, so we draw water, the kohanim draw the water, the kohanim pour down the southwest corner of the top of the Mizbeach. Rashi points out over here, reminding us about the Gemara in Yuma, that this is done in the morning in conjunction with the Karban Tamid on all 7 days. Where is this mitzvah located in the Torah? So once again, for a second time this morning, we're going to say it's not located in the Torah. There is no reference to the mitzvah of Nisa Chamayim in the Torah. It's Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Again, according to one Tana we saw earlier in the Masechta, it's alluded to, it's intimated in the Torah. We'll talk about that allusion later on. But, in other words, there's no absolute clear reference in the Torah to the mitzvah of Nisa Chamayim. This is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So now, if you are not a, if you don't follow the tradition, if you're not a believer in the Masorah, and during the Second Temple there were plenty of them, Tzedukim, Baitusim. So if you're not a believer in the Masorah, in the Torah Shebaal Peh, so then that means that you don't believe in Nisa Chamayim. And we're going to see later in this perek how there were certain Kohanim who were Tzedukim. Okay, that's historically, it's obviously controversial, it's interesting, we're going to talk about it later on, who, when they got to the top of the Mizbeach, so they didn't do Nisa Chamayim properly, because they thought to themselves, what are we doing? It's not written in the Torah. We'll come back to that later in this parak. Hachalel Chamisha Vishisha. And now the blowing of the flute. Chamisha v'shisha, it's either going to be 5 or 6 days. 5 or 6 days. Again, what does that mean? It could either be 5 or it could be 6. Explanations will be coming later in terms of why that should be. First of all, what flute? What are we talking about? So Rashi points out, but we're going to discuss this in much greater length later on in the parak. So I'll just mention it right now. So basically, there was celebration in Yerushalayim. Celebration in Yerushalayim with music. Right? We probably know it better as Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The rejoicing of the drawing of the water, Beis HaShoeva. Because it was done, right? I was going to say in conjunction with, although not necessarily, right? The parting, so to say, was done during the nighttime. Okay, we'll talk about it later. The Gemara later on is going to talk about it in depth. Anyway, it's either going to be 5 or 6 days. Again, those numbers we'll explain later. Lulav Shiva Ketza. Okay, so here's the mission now. So in other words, we just bat it out. Just halacha after halacha, in conjunction with sukkahs, either it's going to be 6 or 7 days, 8 days, 5 or 6 days, depending on what the halacha is. And now the mishnah is going to go step by step, one by one. So lula shiva ketza. So the mitzvah of lula can be 7 days. When would that be? Yom tov harishon shel chag. Shechal liyos b'shabbos. So let's say there is a concurrence of Shabbos in the first day of Sukkot. Shabbos in the first day of Sukkot, which, as we reported yesterday, that would mean that Rosh Hashanah would fell out on a Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, so Sukkot then will fall on a Shabbos. So if I have the first day of Sukkot falling on a Shabbos, lulav shiva. So then the mitzvah of lulav will be 7 days. Ushar kol hayamim shisha. However, if the first day of lulav falls out any other day of the week, Sunday through Friday, which means that Shabbos is going to be either second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh day. So if that were to occur, so then the mitzvah of lulav will not be 7 days. The mitzvah of lulav will only be 6 days. Essentially, what the Mishnah is saying is that if there's an overlap of Shabbos and the first day of Sukkot, so then we're going to take the lulav even on Shabbos. If there is no overlap of Shabbos and the first day of Sukkot, so then we're not going to take lulav on the day that coincides with Shabbos. Okay? There's no explanation in the Mishnah why that should be. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to provide an explanation why that should be. Arava Shiva Ketzad. Now, the mitzvah of Arava. At this point in time, we don't know what the mitzvah of Arava is. Now, some of us may, but at this point in time, it has not yet been described. Part of today's daf and a lot of tomorrow's daf is going to be description of the mitzvah of Arava. So right now, let's just call it ambiguously the mitzvah of Arava. So Shiva, so it can be all 7 days of Sukkah, Ketzad, Yom HaShvi'i Shel Arava, Shechalios B'Shabbos. If the seventh day of Sukkah coincides with Shabbos, so then that year the mitzvah of Arava will be all 7 days. Arava Shiva. Ushar Kol HaYamim, however, if the seventh day falls out on any other day other than Shabbos, which means that Shabbos obviously will come out at one of the other days of Sukkos, days 1 through 6, so that Shabbos we will not be performing the mitzvah v'rava. That means that that year the mitzvah v'rava will only be accomplished 6 days. Shisha. Kol hayamim shisha. Mitzvah lulav ketzad. Okay. So now, so far, all we've done in detail is to describe the mitzvah of lulav and the mitzvah of arava. And truth of the matter is, we're stopping here. Meaning, I don't know, we're not stopping. But in other words, in terms of the other things mentioned in the Mishnah, halal, simcha, nisar, chamayim, sukkah, chalil, all that will be explained in subsequent Mishnayos. So we'll come back to all those things later on, and we will explain them better later on. But right now, for our purposes, what we're going to be describing now is simply the mitzvah of lulav and the mitzvah of arava. And so far what we've explained in the Mishnah is lulav can be done for 7 days, but only when day one coincides with Shabbos. Otherwise, we do it 6 days because the mitzvah of lulav is not going to override the Shabbos on any other day for reasons which we haven't explained yet. And then the mitzvah of arava, same basic story, but here it's on the back end of Sukkos. Meaning, if the seventh day coincides with Shabbos, so then we will be doing arava all 7 days, including that last day of Sukkos, which coincides with Shabbos. If, however, the last day is any other day of the week other than Shabbos, so whichever day Shabbos falls out on during Sukkos, we will not be doing the mitzvah of arava, and that year then, that means that the mitzvah of arava will only be performed 6 days, not 7 days. And again, for reasons which will be explained in the Gemara, all we're doing right now is just laying out the facts, and the explanation is yet to come. Mitzvah Lulav Ketzad. We're still in the Mishnah. We're on Membeza Medbez. We are explaining now the mitzvah of Lulav. So Yom Tov Rishon Shechag Shecholios B'Shabbos. So the first day of Yom Tov that falls on a Shabbos. Molichim Lulavim Lahar Abayis. So they brought the Lulav to Har Abayis. Now what should be happening in your minds right now, not that I'm telling you what to think, but what should be happening in your minds right now is you should be experiencing deja vu. You should be saying to yourself, didn't we just see this Mishnah? And then you should be responding to yourself with the answer of, yes, we just saw this Mishnah. Well, something very similar to it. If you turn back to Mem Alpha Midbeis and you look back at the Mishnah Mem Alpha Midbeis, we have what is nearly an identical Mishnah. Nearly. I'm going to read quickly the Mishnah on Mem Alpha Midbeis just to jog our memory, and then I'm going to go back to this Mishnah over here. Yom Tov Rishon Shechag Shechalios B'Shabbos, the first day of Yom Tov that falls on Shabbos, Kol Molichen Esulei Lavem, everyone would bring their luv, where would they bring it to? Lebeis HaKnesses, to Shul. To Shul. And then they got to Shul and everyone recognizes their own. And then they would take it. And the reason why you have to recognize your own is because we know on the first day of Yontif you need your own lulav. You can't borrow a lulav. You can't steal a lulav. It has to be your own. That's the Mishnah that we saw on Mem Aleph Amid Beis. Okay? I would say yesterday. And we did it yesterday. Now we're doing a Mishnah at the start of the fourth parak. It sounds nearly identical, but you should observe the one basic difference. Yom Tov Rishon Shechag Shechalios B'Shabbos Molichnus Lulaveim Lahar Abayis. So they would bring their lulav to Har Abayis. Okay, hopefully we all see it. The previous Mishnah talked about bring it to Shul. Here we're talking about bring our lulav to Har Abayis. By the way, Har Abayis, what is that? So we pointed out a number of times. This picture over here is just a picture of the Azara. This is a temple courtyard. This is Ezra's Nashim. Now, Har Abayis, if we could draw a huge box around it, the Har Abayis is an area that surrounds, that envelops this entire area over here. That's the area of the Har Abayis. When you go to the Kotel, when you go to the Kotel Maravi, the Western Wall, so that Western Wall was a wall around the Har Abayis, meaning when you step over that wall, if you were to step over that wall, beyond that wall, so you'd be standing in the area of Har Abayis to get to the Azara, so you have to go further interior. Where exactly is the Azara? So I'm not the person to ask. You ask somebody who knows the geography well. But anyway, so everyone would bring their lulav to Har Abayis, Molichim lulav in Har Abayis, v'achazan mekabel mehem, and they have the chazan. Chazan over here, in reference to the Mishnah and the Gemara, the chazan is not the cantor. The chazan is the gabbai, or a person in charge. V'achazan mekabel mehem, v'sojan osan agabe itztaba. And they would lay it out on the benches. There would be benches around the perimeter of the Har Abayis. Now, as far as the older people are concerned, the kingdom over here could just simply mean older people, or it could be a reference to members of the Sanhedrin. Either way, but the point is that they don't want to push and fight for their lulav, so the Zakenim have a special chamber where they have their lulav. Now, while everyone's depositing their lulav, remember, they're depositing it on Erev Yontiv, which is coinciding with Shabbos. So on Friday afternoon, they're coming, they're depositing their lulav, and the Chazan says to them, here, I want you to say the following. Repeat after me. Kol mishe magi lulavi liyado harilo bematana. If by accident someone picks up my lulav, so it should be his as a matana. Meaning, say it. Say it as a condition and mean it. L'machar mashkim u'mavayim. And the next morning, now everyone gets up. V'achazanim zorken osam lefneim. And then, here was a system that was originally employed. So the chazan would be there at the benches, and basically distributing the lulav. And the Mishnah gives a picture of the chazan throwing the lulavim out to the crowd. V'hein mechatfin u'makin ishes chavero. And then they would beat each other. In other words, it basically was a melee. So Ukishiro based in Shabali De Sakana, so Basin says this is not the best system. Hitkinu Shekel Echad ve Echad Notel Bevesa. So then they said to the people, you know what? Let's stop. Do it at home and then come to Harabais. Okay. Not the first time that we saw a melee in the Beis HaMikdash and the Chachamim responding to the melee. Okay, right? We just did Yuma. And in Yuma, we saw something very similar where there was not a melee, but basically injury, right? Running and pushing and shoving and injury in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Chachamim said, okay, let's stop that. So over here in the religious fervor, so obviously it got too wild. And the Chachamim said, okay, enough. And well, obviously, more to discuss coming up later on. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. We're on the very bottom of Membeis Amud Beis, and the Gemara's first question, the obvious one. Amai tilto ba'amahu v'lidchei Shabbos. What is going on? Our Mishnah is saying that with exception to one occasion, where Shabbos and the first day of Sukkot coincide, so we're not going to be taking the lulav, on Shabbos. And to the question, of course, is, well, why not? Now, again, let's remind ourselves. In other words, this is a point that we made before, but it's important. We need to have context. In the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Makom Mikdash, right? That was a terminology that we saw earlier. There is a mitzvah to take lulav all 7 days. Smachtem lefnei Hashem lokechem shivas yamim. There is a mitzvah to take lulav all 7 days in the Mikdash. What does the Mikdash mean? So, it's funny. I in my head, I thought, I'll say it out. I didn't say it out before, but now I have an opportunity to say it. So machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says that Mikdash means the Beis HaMikdash, meaning in the area of the actual temple itself. But anywhere outside the Mikdash, meaning even if you're in Yerushalayim, so then there's no mitzvah to take the lulav 7 days, only day one. Okay. Rambam disagrees with Rashi. Rambam says that the Mikdash, vis-a-vis this halacha, is the entire Yerushalayim, encompassed by the wall. So that's Mikdash vis-a-vis this halacha. According to the Rambam, you're walking into the Yerushalayim, to the Old City. So now, whether it's true Bizman Hazeh without a base of Mikdash, you can debate, right, not now. but if you walk into Yerushalayim, you have now a mitzvah da'araisa to take lulav all 7 days. Okay, anyway. So, there's a mitzvah in Mikdash to take lulav all 7 days, min haTorah. Outside of the Mikdash, Begvulin, anywhere outside of the base of Mikdash, or the area of the Mikdash, so there's a mitzvah only to take it one day, only the first day. But we know, we saw the Mishnah of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, who made a takana that opposed the destruction of the second temple, so we are going to take the mitzvah, we're going to take the lulav all 7 days, this, days 2 through 7, to remind us that we once had a base of Mikdash, and there once was a mitzvah to do it all 7 days in the base of Mikdash. Okay. Our Mishnah says that when Shabbos and Sukkot are not, when Shabbos is not day one, and Shabbos falls out in any other day, now remember, it's a moving target, because Sukkot is a calendaric event. And in terms of when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, Rosh Chodesh, which happens to also be Rosh Hashanah, so it could theoretically be any day of the week. There's a restriction, but we'll get to the restrictions later on. It could be any day of the week. And when Shabbos and Sukkot and the first day of Sukkot don't coincide, we do not take the lulav on Shabbos, even in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to do so. And now the Gemara asks a very simple and basic question. Amai, tilto ba'amu v'litchei Shabbos. The taking of lulav at worst can be just tiltal. It's muksa. Let's say the lulav is muksa. At worst. Okay. But you don't think the mitzvah d'oraisa of taking lulav is going to override the muksa prohibition? It should. So tiltal ba'amahu v'litchei Shabbos. Why aren't we taking the lulav on Shabbos? That's the basic question. So here we are now, and we see it. I mean, the truth of the matter is, we already saw it earlier. But stay tuned because we're going to see it again in Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to see it again in Megillah. Okay, for obvious reasons, which I'll lay out in just a moment. But Rava says, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that if we were allowed to take the lulav. So then, I'm going to pick up the lulav, I'm going to say to myself, oh no, I don't know how to. I don't know how to lulav. That's a funny statement. What does that mean? I don't know how to lulav. Okay, in other words, and the Gemara earlier mentioned, Meda'ag bei bei nafik bei. Well, all you need to do is just pick it up, that's how you fulfill the mitzvah. But as we also know, there's na'nuin, there's shaking involved. And, I've never done the na'nuin, I don't know what's going on. I know it's shaking, but how do you shake? Okay, you know what? Let me go to my Rebbe. My Rebbe will teach me how to shake. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up the lulav, and I'm going to leave my house, and I'm going to travel 4 amos in Rishos Rabim, and I'm going to violate Hotza'ah on Shabbos. So Rabbi says that's a concern, and because that's a concern, so the Chachamim said, no. The Chachamim said, you're not going to take it on Shabbos.
Aren't you more likely to do it on the first day?
Now, it begs the question, which we'll get to in just a moment. Well, if that's true, so then why are we going to differentiate the first day when the first day coincides with Shabbos, so we're taking it? Well, what happened to Gzera D'Rabba? Okay, that begs the question. Okay, just some technical points over here, and we're going to move on, but let's cover some technical points. Take a look at the first Rashi, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Rashi says that what's the language of the Gemara? You're going to carry it 4 amos and a Rosh Hashanah. That's a concern. Now, in terms of carrying on Shabbos, so we spent the first week of Masechta Shabbos, and on top of that, another parak as well, a Hazorik. We spent considerable amount of time in Shabbos describing the Malach of Otzah. The Malach of Otzah can come in one of two ways. Number one, the Malach of Otzah is I pick something up in a private domain, and I put it down in a public domain. So pick it up in the Rosh Hashanah, and Hanach, I'm putting it down in the Rosh Hashanah. That's one form of Otzah. Another form of otzah is carrying something 4 amos berushas harabim, picking something up at point A in a public domain, and taking 4 amos, stepping 4 amos, and then depositing it down in a rishas harabim. So to which now the Gemara says, what's the problem? The problem is that I may pick it up and carry 4 amos in a rishas harabim. Rashi wonders out loud, I don't understand, why is Rava pigeonholing us? Why is he only worried about carrying it 4 amos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Aren't you starting in your home? Aren't you picking it up in your home and carrying it and moving from your private domain into a public domain? Why doesn't Rabbah mention that we're also concerned that you're going to be carrying it from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Okay, simple question. And Rashi says, I think I have an answer. Rashi actually offers two answers to this question. Take a look at the top Rashi on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Rashi writes, Hua din damatzi lemeim av yotzi mirshus yach lirshus harabim. So Rashi says, look, the Gemara could have written that. Ela shebarov mekomos v'inyanim amrin yesh lachush la'avar asar ba'amos v'ein lachush lotzah kigon. So Rashi says, yeah, but you know what? On most occasions, the traversing of 4 amos is going to be the violation that will be transgressed. Rashi continues to explain why. Keep going. Let's say you start off from not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You start off in an area of a karpuf, or a garden, or a karmelis. These are areas that are not Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and therefore, to pick up the lulav there and to walk towards your Rebbe, so you're just simply not going to be in a position where you're not violating carrying from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Dalat Amos, however, that you're going to violate because you're going to be walking through a public domain. V'yeshkan Isser Havar B'Rishus HaRabim. So that's one example. That's one suggestion of Rashi why it is that Rabbi just didn't mention traveling from a Rishus Yachid to Rishus HaRabim. Rashi gives a second suggestion. Oh, Higbia Amanas Lidlo V'Lo Lo Tzio V'Nimlech Lo Tzio Patr Mishum Otzah Im Lo Amad Lafush Maintem Kedem Rinnim B'Masach HaShabbos. Rashi gives another very technical suggestion in terms of why not mention going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So we learned back in Shabbos that if I pick something up, not with the intent of leaving my house, and then while it's in my hand, I now walk out the door, that's not a kira. That's not considered picking it up to go out. The act of picking up must be from the onset, an intent of picking it up to go out of the house. So as a very technical answer, Rashi says, well, because I picked it up to go out of my house, I picked it up not to go out of my house, and then I changed my mind, so that's not an akira, and that's why he didn't violate carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, you have a bunch of questions on this, Rashi, don't you? Tosfos, if you I'm just going over the basic points. Much discussion about this Rashi, but right now, because of time, I'm only going to invest a little bit more time in this discussion. Tosfos points out he's not in love with Rashi's second suggestion. Tosfos points out, because we could say the same thing in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Meaning, Tosfos points out, if I pick something up in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin not to travel, and then I travel, so you also will not be violating walking four amos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So Tosfos says, I don't like Rashi's second suggestion. And Tosfos points out, Tosfos says, I'm going to add another suggestion. Why Rabbah doesn't mention going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So Tosfos says, V'tam Rishonira, Inam in Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, Islu Ekera, V'leka Lemigzar, V'Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, Zimun Delavadaite, Umavir Arba Amos. Tosfos says, do you know why Rabbah doesn't mention carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbin? Because, says Tosfos, that is a, there's no need to make such a gzera. Meaning, it's so recognizable, so identifiable. Shabbos, I can't carry from my home to a public domain. Okay, I get it. Meaning, and my home is clearly defined, the public domain is clearly defined. So in other words, who's going to do that on Shabbos? In other words, you have to really be forgetful of Shabbos. Masha Enkin, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, all you need to do is just simply take four steps into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, approximately, and that's it. You violate the Isser. So Tosfos says the reason why Rabbah is more concerned about traveling in Dal Amos Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is because it's more subtle. It's just easier to slip your mind that, hey, I'm walking four Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Masha Enkin walking from your house to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's just simply, it's obvious. And the Chachamim don't need to make such a gzera. Okay, that's another suggestion why Rava didn't mention going from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Okay, we're going to go on. And oh, by the way, let me just point out, the Gemara says same thing regarding Shofar, same thing regarding Megillah, meaning that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, which it does, by the way, that would be the same year where the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, but when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, so we don't blow shofar on that Shabbos. And imagine, by the way, what kind of power is invested to the Chachamim where they could take a mitzvah d'oraisa of blowing shofar, and they could say to us, look, we're concerned about Shabbos violation, we're concerned about Chil Shabbos, you know what, don't blow the shofar. Okay? I mean, that's a lot of koach, that's a lot of power invested in the Chachamim. We will discuss this more in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah. Stay tuned. Right? I'm only asking you to stay with me for another 6 months. Okay? Not that much. No, we'll get there. We'll get there quicker than that. Okay. So and also the same thing is true with regarding Megillah. Okay? And Yana Diyuma, although we're two days behind. But if the 14th day falls out on a Shabbos, now by the way, for us, it doesn't because of the fixed calendar, which I know we just spoke about yesterday. But if the 14th day of Adar falls out on Shabbos, we will not be reading Megillah. Again, the concern is, I don't know how to read the Megillah. Oh boy, now let me run to my Rebbe. And you're going to pick up the Megillah and you're going to travel four Amos and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And Rabbah says, okay, so the Chachamim said, don't read it. By the way, even though for us the 14th day doesn't fall out on Shabbos, you know where Purim does fall out on Shabbos? In Yerushalayim, in the Mukafim, in the walled cities, where they're celebrating the 15th. So when Purim falls out on a Friday, so in Yerushalayim, in any other walled city from the time of Yeshua, so that means Purim for them is going to be on Shabbos. So what do they do? Confusion. So not for now. But let me just assure you, they don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. Okay, that's the easy way to...
Fridays they do.
They read on Sunday. And then the question of Mishloach Manos, and then the question of Matanos Levyonim, and the question of Seuda, and okay. But anyway, they don't read the Megillah. Let's just say it simply like that. E hachi yom rishonami. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Good, but incomplete answer. Meaning now I know why when Shabbos falls out on any other day of Sukkot other than day one, so we don't take the lulav because of Gzera de Rabbah, because of Rabbah's enactment, his Gzera. So, by the way, you'll hear me say it again and again, Gzera de Rabbah. That doesn't necessarily mean that Rabbah was the one who made the Gzera. He's the one who is giving it over to us. He's teaching it to us, so we attribute it to him. But in terms of who instituted it, it could have been an earlier institution. So, but anyway, good. But it's an incomplete answer. But we learned in our Mishnah that if Shabbos falls out on day one, they will take lulav. What happened to the Gzera? So, hatakino le rabbanim beveso. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you remember our Mishnah? What happened in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, the Chachamim told everybody, don't bring it to our rabbis, you keep it, and you take it in your house. So the Gemara says, that's also an incomplete answer. Incomplete answer. Meaning, okay, but that was, remember the history that we learned together in the Mishnah? After that, we saw that it was a melee and it was a balagan. So then they told everyone, don't bring it to Harabai. So that means that there was a point in time where people walked their lulav to shul. Sorry. To the Beis HaMikdash, to the Harabayas. So, and we're not worried that people are going to walk 4 hours in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Ella. So the Gemara says like this. Rishon di'isei min HaTorah b'gvulan lo gazru bu rabbanan. Hanach d'leslu min HaTorah b'gvulan gazru bu rabbanan. So the Gemara says like this. Gzera de Rabbah is a limited Gzera. I mean limited. Meaning there was an exception made in the Gzera. The exception is when day one falls out on Shabbos. Okay? But in other words, if Shabbos were to occur on any other day of Sukkot, on days 2 through 7, we do not take the lulav. But if Shabbos falls out on day one, so then we are going to take the lulav. Rava's Gzera has an exception in it, built into the Gzera. Why? Because on day one, there is a mitzvah d'oraisa for everybody to take lulav, both in Yerushalayim and outside Yerushalayim as well. I just said like the Rambam. So yachi ayina nami. So the Gemara says, okay, good. What about nowadays? Meaning, did you notice nowadays, we don't take lulav on day one, even if day one coincides with Shabbos? And by the way, we've had a lot of practice with that. Right? We've had a lot of the... actually, we had a lot of three-day yuntifs. But in other words, to my memory, I remember recently we've had a number of times when the first day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos. Anan lo yadina b'kviya d'yarcha. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you why we don't do it. We don't do it. Now, the we over here means us Babylonians. We don't do it because we don't know exactly which day is Sukkot. Sveika d'yuma. Okay? We'll talk more about it probably tomorrow. Sveika d'yuma, we don't know which day is exactly Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot. That's why we observe 15th and 16th day of Sukkot. So therefore, we're in a state of Safek. If we knew for sure that the day we're celebrating is the first day of Sukkot, then of course we would take it. So the Gemara says, Hina di'ad b'kfir di'archa lidcho. So the Gemara says, okay, those people living in Eretz Yisrael. So you're telling me that if the first day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, they're going to take lulav? So the Gemara says, Anachinami. So the Gemara says that would be correct. Yes. In fact, the Gemara says, did not, because we learned in the Mishnah. Did not chada. And now the Gemara is going to explain. Meaning, underlying this whole discussion was basically a built-in question. And I alluded to the question earlier this morning when I pointed out that our Mishnah on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, Mem Beis Amud Beis, is basically a repetition of the Mishnah of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Didn't he chada b'yam tavrishon shachag shechalos b'shabbos kol ha'molichin es lulav l'har habayis. Our Mishnah, the beginning of the fourth parak, talks about how everyone's bringing their lulav to har habayis. And tanani idach, and we learned in another Mishnah l'beis ha'kineses. No, they're bringing their lulav to shul. Well, I'm confused. Har habayis? Shul. Which one? Shema minah kam bizman she'ein beis mikdash kayam. Kan bizman she'ein beis mikdash kayam shema minah. So you see that what the Mishnayos are reflecting are really, in fact, two different time periods. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, they would bring their lulav to Har HaBayis. When there wasn't a Beis HaMikdash, they would bring their lulav to Shul. What do you see? That even if day one coincides, not even, if day one coincides with Shabbos, So then when there's a Beis HaMikdash, they're taking it on day one. And when there's no Beis HaMikdash, they're still taking it on day one. Our Mishnah, the beginning of the fourth parak, that's reflecting when there was a Beis HaMikdash. Harabayas, Chazanim. The end of the third parak, that Mishnah is talking about when there is no Beis HaMikdash. And they're still bringing it to Shul. Okay, Shema Mina. Sorry, right, good. The Isa Minatar Bigvul Minalan. And now the Gemara just simply goes over sources. How do I know that there's a mitzvah to take lulav on day one everywhere, meaning not just in the Beis HaMikdash? Gemara quotes a brisa, D'tanya. Ulekachtem shetei lekicha b'yad kol echad v'achad. This should sound familiar. Once again, we did this just a couple days ago. Everyone's got to take their own lulav. It's not like we explained the other day. It's not a Beis Din mitzvah. It's every one of us. Lachem yishalachem lo'otzi seshal v'segozo. It's got to be yours. It can't be stolen or borrowed. Once again, we've gone over this as well. But yom afilu b'Shabbos. You take it, even on Shabbos. Rishon, afilu b'gvulin. Day one, meaning irrespective of where you are. Rashi points out. This isn't a drasha per se. Rashi points out. It's just by simple virtue of the fact that the Torah doesn't specify where. The Torah just simply says, day one. Wherever you are, you're going to take a lulav. Ha Rishon, the first day, the hay. The hay is always a miut, it always minimizes. Malam Shenadoch Ella Yom Tov Rishon Bavad. So that teaches us that it only is going to override day one. Meaning even in the Beis HaMikdash, it's only going to override day one. Amar Mar, step by step, now let's go over this braisa. By Yom Vafila B'Shabbos Mechti Tilta Bamahu, it's their Chorla Meshe Tilta. We have a drasha that tells us that you take your lulav even if it's Shabbos. Similar to, I'll give you another example, a mitzvah of Mila. The Torah says that you, right, by Yom HaShmini, and on the eighth day, even if that eighth day falls out on Shabbos, you do the mitzvah of Mila. Okay. Now, mitzvah of Mila, that's a Shabbos violation. Right, to cut skin, to excise and to cause bleeding, so that's a Shabbos violation. So there the Torah has to tell me that despite the fact that it's a Torah violation to do so, but you do it anyway. Here the Gemara is wondering, what Torah violation are we talking about? Is there a chilul Shabbos by picking up a lulav and shaking a lulav? No, it's muksa. Why do I need a drasha to allow it, to permit it? Amarava lo nitzcha ela machshiri lulav. So Rava says you're correct. I don't need a drasha to permit the picking the lulav up. It's muksa. The aliba daitana, the Gemara says we're talking about the machshirin, meaning. Imagine you don't have a lulav, but there's a beautiful palm tree growing in your backyard. So, cut it, clip it. One Tana says, yes. Detanya, lulav v'chol machshir avdochen esa Shabbos divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, who we see time and again throughout Shas. And in fact, an entire perek in Shas is dedicated to Rabbi Eliezer. And his position that not only can the mitzvah be dochen Shabbos, but machshirin. Any preparatory stage towards the mitzvah can also override the Shabbos as well. Rabbi Eliezer allows you to build a knife, to make a knife on Shabbos to do the mitzvah of Mila. Right? 19th parak of Shabbos. Here too, Rabbi Eliezer will allow you to clip a lulav on Shabbos so that you can have a lulav. Clipping a lulav, that's chilul Shabbos. That's a malacha. That requires a drasha. My time to Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a krabba yom v'afilu b'Shabbos. V'rabbanan. Now the Chachamim do not agree. The Chachamim do not permit machshirin. So what are the Chachamim going to do with the word Bayom? Because for them, it's not necessary. Why is it not necessary? Because they don't buy into Machshirin. And then to tell me that the drasha is all to just allow me to pick up lulav up, that's not Nisa Daraisa, that's only Muksa. I don't need a drasha to allow me to do that. So what do they do with the word Bayom? V'rabbanan ha-bayom ha-avdi, let me buy le Bayom v'lo ba-layla. So it comes to teach me that the mitzvah of lulav is only during the day, not at night. Rabbi Eliezer, Bayom v'lo ba-layla minale. Now we're just going to keep going back and forth. Rabbi Eliezer, how does he derive this halacha? Now, if you let me say for the crowd, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokecha. I'm sorry. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem shivas yamim. Yamim v'lo leilos. The end of the pasuk that says day. Day meaning day, not night. V'rabbanan ime asim havamina leilav yamim yamim misukah. The Chachamim said, no, if I only had the word yamim, yamim doesn't have to be only day. Yamim could mean day and night. For example, sukkah. We know sukkah is a mitzvah for both day and night. Malahan yamim v'afilo lelos, afkan nami yamim v'afilo lelos. So I might have thought that had we just been left with the word yamim, yamim means days, which includes the nights, and we know that's true by sukkah. So therefore, the Chachamim say, I need ulakachtam lachem by yom. Yom by itself means just day, not night. How do I know the mitzvah of sukkah is both day and night? Meaning the Gemara assumed that. How do I know that's so? And so we'll finish up today with this drasha. V'sukkah gufa minalim detana rabbanan. So the purpose of this brisa, it's going to be a long brisa. It's going to take us to Amud Beis. The purpose of this brisa is just simply to teach us that the mitzvah of sukkah is not limited to just the daytime, but it's both day and night. Detana rabbanan b'sukkah teishu shivas yamim. The Torah says he sit in the sukkah for 7 days. Yamim afilu leilos. Now, we're assuming, we'll say it, that day means day and night. Ata omer yamim v'afilu leilos. I know ela yamim v'lo leilos. So now the brisa challenges. Meaning, you're right. We all know that's going to be the conclusion. But how do we arrive at that conclusion? How do we know that? So the Gemara goes on to explain. V'dinu, nemar kan yamim v'nemar, belulav yamim malahal yamim v'lo leilos, af kan yamim v'lo leilos. We could make a counter argument. We could say that no, that lulav is only during the day, and the Torah uses the word yamim to describe lulav. Why can't we make an argument that sukkah is only during the day? Torah uses the word yamim to describe sukkah. Oklach l'derek zu. As long as we're arguing, so we can argue the other direction as well. Nemar kan yamim v'nemar b'meluin yamim. We have yamim mentioned here by the mitzvah of sukkah. We have yamim mentioned by meluim. Okay? In yana diyuma. Meaning the end of last week's parsha, the beginning of this week's parsha, the meluim. The 8 inaugural days that got us to the first, to Hakamas HaMishkan. Right? This week's parsha, Shmini. What is Shmini? The 8th day of inauguration. Now, that means that prior to the 8th day of inauguration, that means that the 8th day actually is day 1 of Hakamas HaMishkan. So that means, in truth, there actually are 7 days of inauguration. Now, during the 7 days of inauguration, so the Kohanim, at that point, there's a small number of Kohanim. 5 in total. Right? And unfortunately, on the 8th day, 2 of them are going to pass away. So, but 5 Kohanim, and they're told that during the 7 days of inauguration, where do they camp out? In the Mishkan. During the day and during the night? Correct. They're camping out in the Mishkan day and night. Look at Rashi. Rashi quotes the Pasuk. U'pesach o'amoi teshvu yomam v'layla. Last Rashi on the Amud. Okay. So, therefore, which way are we going to argue? So near lemidam, done in davishim mitzvasa kol yom, davishim mitzvasa kol yom, vayechich davishim mitzvasa shah achas. On one hand, sukkah is a better comparison to miluim because those are continuous mitzvahs. The mitzvah of lulav, you pick it up, you put it down, mitzvah's over. Shah achas. The mitzvah of sukkah, sit in the sukkah, sleep in the sukkah. Miluim, so kohanim, sit in the mishkan. I dare say, although Tosus on the top of Amud Beis cautions us, we can't say sleep in the Mishkan. That's obviously not, we can't say that. But, in other words, it's a continuous mitzvah. Oklach l'derek zu. Dan in davishim mitzvah soledoros, min davishim mitzvah soledoros, vayachich meluim, sheinu agin ledoros. On the other hand, meluim, that was a historical event. Lulav and sukkah, those are continuous mitzvahs for all generations. Teshvu teshvu legzera shava. So we try the logical arguments. The logical arguments you can make in either direction. So now, when logic no longer is able to help us, so now we go right for the kill. Drasha. Teshvu teshvu legzera shava. We have legzera shava. Nemar kan teshvu, nemar bimlu, and teshvu malan yamin v'afilo leilos, afkan yamin v'afilo leilos. Okay, so we have legzera shava. So just like by the meluim, so there was a mitzvah for the Kohanim to be in the Mishkan, Laila v'yom, so too in the Sukkah, there's a mitzvah to be in the Sukkah, Laila v'yom. So all the Gemara just did for us is, and it's not a small thing, is establish that the mitzvah of Sukkah is Laila v'yom. Now I go back and I understand. Zahav Amina would have been, well, if Sukkah is Laila v'yom, so then Lulav should be Laila v'yom. That's why, according to the Chachamim, I need the word yom, ulakachta mechem b'yom, to tell me no. The mitzvah of Lulav is only during the day, not at night. Period.
Why do you think of
the right, but that again, that's the plural.
I know, but it goes with yamim, so they both could be day and night. So that would be more
okay. Fine, solution. That's another possible argument. Well, look, we could argue either way. So the Gemara says fine. So you have gzeira shavah. Right.